Hi, welcome back to Cast and Pods. This is episode
20.
20. Thank you. Who is that voice? It's like we have a guest.
We're Grace with the guest.
Is it by any chance our great producer, Wendy?
Oh boy.
The goddess of editing herself?
Goddess of everything?
I'm here to talk about my new favorite movie.
It's your new favorite movie?
Yeah.
What was your previous favorite movie?
Oh yeah, what did it dethrone?
Yeah. Was it Old Boy?
Oh, maybe Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, this is a similar vein.
There's mind warpy things happening.
And what is the title of that movie?
Title is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Such a good movie.
I feel like we say this every episode, but this is definitely one you want to watch the movie first.
Oh, yes. I thought you were going to say, we always say it's such a great movie. And I
oh, was no, just absolutely say, no. You are on every episode, so no, we never do that.
Yeah, so new movie this year by the Daniels. Oh, sorry, just Daniels. New movie this year by Daniels. Directing team of Daniel Sheinhardt and Daniel Kwan.
They don't go by the Daniels?
No, I watched an interview where Jamie Lee Curtis asked them about this. And they said, it's just Daniels. We don't want to be the Daniels. That seems, you know, sort of egotistical to think they are the only Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a movie created by Daniels.
I'm not sure if you guys seen their previous movie, but I feel like this movie is so wacky that there's so little movies that's like it that, of course, they're also the people that made Swiss Army Man, starring Daniel Radcliffe, more Daniels.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard that's just one long fart joke.
Yep. Yep.
That's too many Daniels for one movie.
But it was quirky and weird, and I was quite into it.
All right. So I saw a trailer for this movie, and I didn't know anything about it. And I just had an extra movie ticket I wanted to use before I left to Japan. So I just said, okay, let's go see this. Gotta support these Asian movies. Even if Derek does not want to believe that's true.
I know. I like that it's the exact opposite sentiment. That you're like, yeah, you know, I gotta go. I'll spend my coin. And he's like, absolutely not.
Exactly. So I had to go see something before I left. It was the only new movie out at the time. So I was like, why not? And then it absolutely blew my mind. And I just sat there laughing, crying, just feeling all the things.
Everything.
Every single thing. Yeah, I was agree. I saw the trailer and I went, hold on, this doesn't make any sense. What? Okay, when this comes out, I probably should see it.
I saw the trailer and was like, oh, more multiverse shit. I will pass. And then I watched it. And then I was like, fuck. Wendy was right. I wished I watched this in theaters.
And like many times before, you were wrong.
What would you like to start us off with, Wendy, about this movie?
So I think even just right off the bat, the sort of use of language, the use of Chinglish in the movie, that hooked me right there. Like she was speaking Mandarin, but they were using English words in between. And then they were speaking to the grandfather in Cantonese and speaking to each other in Cantonese. And then the daughter being like, I don't know how to say anything.
Yeah. What's this one word?
It's very relatable, right, Derek?
Yeah, it's very relatable.
Especially that line where Michelle Yeoh says, you know me, like, I don't know the difference between he, she, like in Chinese, it's just one word, ta. Why can't things just be easy like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that said so much to me because I've always thought, like, why can't my mom, like, figure out the difference between he and she? Like, I'm he, the dog, she, whatever. And now I'm like, you know what? Maybe there just should be one word, like they or ta. Like, and things would be much simpler. We wouldn't have to be concerned about these things.
Yeah, that is interesting. Like, I feel like we could go off on a whole separate tangent about that, but that is really interesting. What thing spoke to you, Dirk?
I don't know. Michelle Yeoh plays a very good traditional mom that I would have rebelled against because my mom was not like that at all. And so I feel like her playing that type of mother would spark the rage in me that I would have like wanted to rebel. I'm like, I would date all the girls. Fuck you, mom. Like, you know.
I didn't feel the rage, but I definitely felt the line where she said, oh, like, she's gonna, like, tell you that you look fat or something. That means she cares.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I'm like, don't really know if that means she cares, but it is definitely something that my Asian mother does all the time, is comment on my sister and I's appearance, like, as a greeting, basically.
Wow.
And, like, that's what is so amazing about this film. It really, like, delves into the generational trauma.
Yes.
That the grandfather has passed on to the mother and the mother has passed on to the kid. How do you stop that from being passed on even further? That's a really interesting question. Like, mm-hmm. how do you do that and how do we deal with that collectively?
And on a second watch, the mom is slightly aware of it. She does feel bad when she does it, but she's like, that's all I know.
Yeah.
After they leave the coin laundry scene and she's going to the car and she's like walking up to her, I want to say something good here. And you just see her brain going. She's like, watch what you're eating. You're getting fat. And Dad is like, really? This was your moment to try to save things. And okay, I'm just going to drive off. Fuck this conversation.
Yeah. And Stephanie, she does such a good job. Like, her face just, like, breaks right there. Like, she's, like, hopeful her mom's going to say something nice, something loving. And it's just...
Oh.
Oh, you should watch what you're eating. You should eat healthier.
Yeah, the same old bullshit.
One other note on the Asian-ness. I loved it when on the we first saw the divorce papers. You see the name is Waymond, actually,
mm-hmm.
which is such a connection to the way how sometimes when Asians come over to Canada or, you know, any immigrant who has a name from a different language, the spelling is not exactly how you would expect it to be.
I did not catch that. I
Oh, you thought they were just saying Raymond differently?
No, I was just like, oh, like, this is a weird name. And then now that you're saying it, it's actually an R, but, like, mistranslated some way into a W.
Yeah.
Yeah, the person on the other end couldn't be bothered. So, like, what name do you want?
Yeah.
Like, Raymond. And they're like, yeah, okay, good enough for me.
Totally.
Have you seen Stephanie Hsu in anything else? Because this is my first time seeing her in action, and damn, she could act. Like, what? Mm-hmm.
She's at the end of Shang-Chi.
What?
Oh, yeah.
She's their friend.
She's the show-offy friend.
Or I guess she's in the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The one with the husband mm-hmm. that they were talking to. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to tell me she was one of the spear people. And I'm just like, I can't. I don't know.
It's true.
They're all fighting monsters.
They all wear the same thing in Talo, so that's true.
Oh, that means she's in another movie with Michelle Yeoh.
Well, speaking of people in Shang-Chi, there's two brothers who are the martial artists in the scene with the butt plugs.
Yes, yes. Oh, they're brothers?
So they're brothers, and one of them plays Death Dealer.
The one with the mask.
Yes, yes. The one who's beating up Shang-Chi.
Yeah. Because they're also the fight coordinators for this movie. Is that?
Well, I never would have guessed that, seeing that they're in most of the choreography.
Yeah, the martial arts in this movie, they were pretty epic.
They gave me everything I wanted. Like, people know I love my dropkicks, and they gave me a whole dropkick, but it was Jamie Lee Curtis throwing a dropkick. What?
This is probably one of the best martial arts movies I've seen this year, and this wasn't even the focus of the movie.
I mean, once you see that fanny pack being unclipped, and... that scene right there, pulling the buckle. Oh my gosh. You know that's going to be good.
Also, the song in the background for that scene. Banger.
After I saw it, I thought, there's stuff like this. There's the action like this. We were just talking about The Matrix. All those sort of epic fights. And I was like, hey, you have to see this. You have to see this.
Yes, I'm glad you're the one who did the final push. Like, all right, guys, this movie was made for you, meant for you. You must go watch it. And I was like, you know what? It was on my list. I'll do it right now.
I think it's made for anyone who likes movies. You know, it just references so many different things.
Yes. On that topic, there is so many, like, even audio sounds that they use that are references to things. Like, the scene where Jobu Tabaki first shows up and is fighting in the hallway. And you hear, like, cartoon sound effects as she's running in the hallway and dodging people and fighting. And when Pinky Kung Fu comes out and you hear the Smash Bros. Pew!
Yes. That's what I heard.
I was like, holy shit, this movie. But the fact that they're able to touch on every genre in one film without it feeling like a 6-hour movie is insane.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really impressive. And speaking of when Jobu Tabaki or Joy first shows up, those costumes are unbelievable. The makeup and costumes are so inventive. I was just, my mind was just swirling, like, I don't even know what else I can be impressed with next. It's just one thing after the other.
the costume designer did the damn thing because all of those fits were fire.
What do you think was your favorite one?
The subtle one is where she shows up and she has a gun for some reason and she looks like she came out of like Gears of War or something.
Oh, the she had like black spikes.
Yeah, she all of a sudden has a very futuristic suit.
Oh, that one's good.
That's also the one. No, that's not the one where her hair spells joy on her head.
That's another good one. I like the green feather. Who knows even know? Oh, in the Alphaverse, like who knows where that came from?
Oh. When she shows up to get them. Mm-hmm.
Also, not even lying, I ate an everything bagel while the second time I was watching it, and I just kept looking at it like, this feels wrong.
Do you look through your hands and your fingers and think about the meaning of life?
So, am I going nuts? Is that something that kids used to do, like, interlock the fingers and, like, look through? Because I'm like, I feel like I've seen that before.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a vagina.
There we go. Okay.
That's... No, I'm serious.
Yeah. I think that's true.
That's what I'm like. No, I'm like, I feel like that was something we used to do and be like, we're so mature.
So mature.
I thought she was actually going to like reborn her because like the hand vagina, they did that. Mm-hmm. And then the first time she put on the headset, she saw her like be born again. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was like, oh, okay. I think, nope, we're just going to talk about the bagel that is a black hole. Because she put everything in it. I'm like, oh, I love this movie.
In a bagel.
Speaking of that scene, that was connected to one of the funniest scenes in the movie where I was howling when they had the throwback to the 10 million years BC when human evolution lost their fingers and turned into hot dog fingers. Yeah. I was laughing so hard at every hot dog finger scene. Like, I couldn't stop thinking about that after I left. And later on in the movie, when we're talking about hope and people being good in the world, and it was, oh, in a world where you have hot dog fingers, people are really good with their feet. And I was like, okay, Derek has to see this movie.
Yeah.
Right? For them to swing around and be like, no, there's actual utility. We thought this through. I was like, no way. You made this a thing?
Yeah, I think there are more worlds, more universes on the cutting room floor, but there's just too many to show. There's just too many possibilities.
They're all endless. Like, even the line that she said, she's like, this doesn't make sense. Any little stupid thing I think of exists somewhere. Like, yeah. This movie's amazing.
I think the first time Jovu Tubaki showed up, I literally had to pick my jaw up from the floor because I was just, like, in such shock and amazement of what I was witnessing. And then it just kept going the entire movie.
Where she takes a hit from the gun like it's a bomb.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But like just even like the way that she twirls the cop and then it's now the cop is in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then the suplex. But even like when they went to the Rock universe, I'm like, oh my God, the Rock universe where it's just Tex. It's so good.
Oh, I saw that in the theater and you could just hear the entire audience like laughing and, you know, just sort of feeling their feels that entire scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even all the sound drops out. Like, you don't hear any nothing. It's just, you're going to absorb this text and feel your feels from everything that's going on.
Exactly. So the second time I watched it, I just sat there and cried.
During the Rock scene or the entire time?
Definitely think the latter half of the movie.
Presses play. Tears do not stop.
So many tears. Although true, actually, usually when I watch any movie that has Asians in it, I just start crying immediately, at least for the first few seconds.
Even in Crazy Rich Asians?
Yes, even in Crazy Rich Asians, when the music starts and I feel very much like, wow, this is, you know.
Representation matters.
Good Chinese music. And I'm like excited for this movie. And I know you don't like this movie, but.
Which one? What? This one?
Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so do we want to get into that? Because that was a big barrier for you even considering to watch this movie that we're talking about.
You know what? The rules are very inconsistent because I didn't want to watch this movie because Crazy Rich Asians have left such a deep emotional scar in me.
Hold on. Can we pause 1 second? I want everyone to acknowledge he said the rules are inconsistent.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I've been saying this whole time. But anyway, we move.
What is this deep emotional scar you have from Crazy Rich Asians?
It's a bad movie, and I will not get into it, but it's a bad movie. So I really wanted to not watch anything that had anything to do with this cast, which is kind of like a blanket does not make sense rule. Mm-hmm. The rules are made up and the points don't matter. But it's really silly because I watched The Eternals, which had
Gemma.
Gemma, and that was a bad movie. So
okay, but someone very good from Crazy Rich Asians in this movie is my childhood crush, Harry Shum Jr., who also had me howling. From Glee, yes, from Glee.
From Glee. Mm-hmm. Dancing Boy from Glee.
Dancing Boy from Glee, play the chef with Raka Kuni. Oh my gosh.
That was such a good bit. I can't believe they like turned it around and just made... turned that joke into a real thing.
That just kept getting better and better from the joke of, oh, haha, you mean Ratatouille, to then you see it in the restaurant, to then he's flailing on the street, running like a madman with the raccoon, and then she jumps on him, and then he jumps on her, and I'm like, oh my god, it just keeps getting better and better.
Comedic writing is amazing. The ability to have the callbacks, in the same way that we were just talking before about coming back to, all right, well... everyone has hot dog fingers. They're really talented with their feet. Oh, and bringing everything back to that moment. Again, we'll talk about this towards the end, but that just leans into more of how she's enlightened and is able to see things the Waymond way.
Oh, the Waymond way. Actually, that also gave me more feels because it kind of reminded me of Don, to be honest. There was the one scene where he had just told me, Don had just told me the day before, he's like, your plants are all going to be dead if you go. And there's that one quick scene in the middle. He's like, holding a plant, a dead plant out. He says, like, I'm sorry. And I...
Fields.
He's just laughing so hard in the theater. Like, that's you. That's you. I looked over at him. Yeah.
Quick, put googly eyes on it. Save the plant.
Speaking of Waymond, though, he was a revelation. I don't know. Have you two heard about his sort of backstory as an actor?
I was told he was in Indiana Jones. He was the little boy.
So when he was a kid, he was in Indiana Jones, and he was also in a movie called The Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in two very popular American movies, and he was an actor. But he found that as he was getting a bit older, there were just no roles for Asian men. So he found that he was getting maybe two auditions a year, where his peers were getting two auditions a week. So because of that, he just sort of fell out of acting and went into more of a stunt coordinating role and working with stunts. And then he said it was actually Crazy Rich Asians, which he saw in theaters several times because it's a good movie.
Agree to disagree.
I love this tennis game that's happening right now.
And he just had major, major FOMO from seeing like all these Asian actors.
So that movie got him back into acting.
Mm-hmm. He just had major FOMO from seeing everyone else in that movie, thinking like, I should be there with them, right? So he called a friend who he asked if like his friend would represent him as an actor. And then 2 weeks later, he got the audition role for this movie.
Huh. Wow. See, that's better than what I read, because I just heard that he was in, I didn't know he was a kid in Indiana Jones. I knew he was in The Goonies, and then I heard that he just took a hiatus, and this is what brought him back to acting. But hearing the full backstory, yeah, see, this is why I was whispering it before, but representation matters.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he put so much work into this movie because he said he was so nervous about, you know, coming back. He said he hired, like, an acting coach, dialogue coach, voice coach, and... even a body movement coach, which was kind of different. And so body movement coach sort of helped him look at the script and divide up the three Waymonds. So like the first Waymond we see, the laundromat, and then Alpha Waymond, and then CEO Waymond in the sort of Wong Kar Wai universe. And he said like, okay, the body movement coach said, the first Waymond, he's like a squirrel. And the second is like an eagle. The Alpha Waymond one, and then the CEO Waymond is like a fox. So what you need to do is watch all these videos of how squirrels act. So he says he spent hours and hours watching videos on YouTube about just of squirrels. And he said he was just like walking around the house and acting like a squirrel until like he really manifested that character. And then same with the other animals. And then mm-hmm. on the rewatch, like knowing that, I could really see the differences in those characters.
You can see the squirrel.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't actually pinpoint it to a squirrel, which is, again, you're pulling all these cool gems. But yeah, you instantly see the dynamic body shift between Wayman and Alpha Wayman. Mm-hmm. And what I love too is that even Evelyn reacts to him differently. She's like, oh, Alpha Wayman's here. And there's like instant ease in her because she's like, I don't have to fully be the one driving and controlling everything. There's someone who's capable finally.
That's true.
Right? Like the scene that I always go back to is after she has the consecutive fight scenes with the buck plug in the hallway, mm-hmm. I mean, not in the hallway, but in the IRS office. And Alpha Wayman finally comes back because he was out of commission for a while. And she's like, you're back. Did you see all the cool things I did?
Yes.
And she's there. And she was even about to kiss him. And then he dies. And then she's mm-hmm. like, oh.
And then tosses his body.
Yeah. Then a regular Wayman comes back and she's like, get off. Discarded. Could have had something.
And all those times when she said, I need to tell my husband how great my life was. How great my life could have been without him.
It's kind of rude.
Yo, that line was such a... I was like, damn. My dad was right this whole time.
Did you like how they used real life footage of Michelle Yeoh for her actor life?
And even one was...
Noticeably the crazy rich Asians.
Exactly. I was like, that was what I noticed.
I ignored that part.
You just put hand sanitizers in your eyes and then hit the button on your headphones.
Eric's working very hard on blocking every crazy rich Asian aspect out of his life.
I was just waiting for her to start playing Mahjong and saying things.
Okay, the Mahjong scene is good. Oh, anyway.
So let's get a cry count. On your first watch, how many tears were shed?
Zero.
Are you a person?
No, I'm serious.
Dimitri's face right now is just puzzling.
I can pinpoint the moment that, like,
you were supposed to be feeling?
If I were to... Yeah. The heaviest feeling moment was definitely when Fox Raymond was like, oh, in another life, I would have liked to do laundry and taxes with you. So when Fox Raymond said that, I'm like, oh, this is a point where there are feelings, but no tears shall be shed.
Interesting.
See that writing on the text on the screen? I could see that too. But when he said it, he said taxes first. And then he said opening a laundromat. That's what he said in Mandarin. Oh. And then that just threw me off completely.
Oh, okay. So for you, it was the translation. And then you're like, no tears would be shed.
Exactly.
You were crying in frustration.
Exactly. But it was when... Michelle Yeoh and Stephanie Hsu, the mother and daughter sort of conversation happens. And she's just,
in the parking
like,
lot.
Just like, you know, we just can't stop hurting each other. You know, we kind of just can't stop feeling this way. And like the scene capped in the parking lot. And I was like, wow, I'm feeling a lot here. Feeling mm-hmm. a lot here. I think that was probably where the tears were crescendoing more and more for me.
That scene was powerful. I was like, oof. Because especially how it starts is Joy's like, good for you. You've now jumped in all these universes and you figured out your shit. Like, you know how to stand up to your dad, blah, 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 blah. Good for you. My life is still shit. You already passed it on and ruined me. What are we here for? We're just going to keep exact, right? She's like, good for you. Wow, you did your shit too little too late. And then the delivery of all the lines in the parking lot, I was like, feelings are being felt. There's a 1-2 thug tear being shed.
And I think they intercut that with more hot dog finger stuff, which just gets me every time.
The true romance of the entire film.
The true romance. Jamie Lee Curtis and Michelle Yeoh.
The true
romance. I love that for them.
I think another good moment was after Michelle Yeoh stood up to her dad. And then when they all jumped in to save her from the bagel,
mm-hmm.
you see the dad like Gong Gong and...
Yeah, Alpha Gong Gong, yeah.
And Raymond to try to all save Joy. And it was just like, oh, family.
As it should be.
Yeah.
I will lob this one. So I was talking to someone else who watched this movie, because at the time, only Greatest Producer in the World had seen it. And then I watched it. So I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it. But I knew someone else who watched it. So I said, oh, now that I've seen it, what did you think? And they were like, it was a little too real for me.
Oh.
All of the depictions of depression. Mm-hmm. And they're like, that was just woof. And I was like, because I know the big Everything Bagel is a big allegory for that. But I was like, huh. Mm-hmm. Like the way that they described it, they almost wish that they had like a trigger warning for how much it affected them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I totally understand. I think there was so much good writing in that, including the Everything Bagel. Absolutely. You could see, especially on the rewatch for me, how just depressed Joy was and how done with she was with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And how even when Becky would say like, oh, let's just do this or, you know, it'll be okay, she just absolutely brushed that off.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
And it's the continual letdown, right? As we talked about before, every time she thought there was going to be a moment of, okay, can we actually talk as people?
Mm.
And then the mom would be dismissive and brush her off again. And she's like, this is why I don't give up.
Right.
But specifically the line where she's like, oh, I threw everything in a bagel, every breed of dog. And you're like, you're laughing at stuff. And she's like, all of my report cards, everything that I ever did bad. And you could just picture those conversations of her growing up here and like, you're such a failure. Really? You only got to be like, word?
That's a big crying scene for me, for sure. Oh. The music is really good in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine actually told me that one of the two Daniels, not using the...
Kwan or Scheinhardt?
Kwan. Mm-hmm. I believe that his story is loosely based off of his journey through... Because as a child, he was more religious and more Christian. And then at some point growing up, he kind of fell out of that and then kind of went into a phase of kind of nihilism and a bit of depression. So this story is kind of like mirroring similar experience of that journey.
Yes, and I had heard that when they had started filming this movie, he felt like he had just gotten married, I think, or maybe he hadn't even gotten married yet. But after they filmed it and they were in the editing stage, he had a baby. So he said he really transformed from the Joy character to maybe the parental character, thinking about like how not to pass on generational trauma.
Right.
That was sort of the evolution in the movie as well.
It's like, yeah, it seems like he had a lot of growth making this movie, because he saw something in one of the interviews that initially the pitch was, oh, what if this person has like ADHD and that's why they keep bouncing from multiverse to multiverse, like it was undiagnosed, and it turned out that he had undiagnosed ADHD. Like he discovered that while like pitching that idea, like what if that was a thing, and then they're like, oh no, that wouldn't be right, like we shouldn't do that. And then as he was looking up what the signs and symptoms are for someone who has it, he's like, hold on, wait, that's me.
oh no.
I just had never seen something so inventive and just so much of it at once.
Mm-hmm.
That just made me so happy. And also, you know, crying. Probably happy crying, though.
Yeah, it was something that we needed. And I love that even the actors, like as you told us about...
Ki-Hoo Kwan.
Ki-Hoo Kwan. I was like, he was waiting for something like this. I was watching another interview where Michelle Yeoh said, I was waiting for a role like this. Because where was it? Yeah.
Yeah. She get very teary-eyed every time because I think she really wanted to represent like Asian American women who are older. Because, yeah.
Yes.
She was saying, now that she's older, she would get a lot of like older roles, and then often they're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they're like grandmother roles. And she's like, no. But then this one, she felt like represented like the Asian American woman that she sees every day.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to do so many cool things. What did you think about the verse jumping and all that weird shit?
So cool. So good. And again, so inventive. Like how? How do you even think about that?
I remember in the movie theater during the paper cut scene, the whole place was just audibly cringing every mm-hmm. time he tried to give himself a paper cut.
Even on the rewatch, he's just like, ooh, no. Oh, no. No.
You gotta say I love you. What, isn't there anything else? Or you break your arm. I love you.
On my rewatch with some friends who have never seen this, they were saying how like they've never seen a multiverse movie where like the rules felt so grounded and like well defined, because all the other like sometimes multiverse movies, they just like there's a bunch of rules that don't make sense and mm-hmm. like just an excuse to like shove this in to do whatever. But they really felt like the rules established in this movie was like really, really good.
Yeah, and everything kept coming back to the ground rules. Like even when Alpha Kong was like, we need all the reinforcements. All right, everyone find your jump path. And they just have that panning shot of everyone doing something ridiculous.
Like licking the wall or humping a lamp.
Yeah, yeah. Dry humping a lamp. One person was doing ballet, one person was singing Ave Maria, and then the guy at the very far left is just scanning
his butt.
His bum. His pulls on his pants.
Oh yeah, that was Andy. That was Andy the death dealer.
Mm.
And eventually it leads to that butt plug fight. But it's interesting because when I was rewatching it with like the same group of friends, when they first saw Jamie Lee Curtis's trophies, they're like, oh man, those trophies are oddly butt plug shaped. And I'm like, ho, you're in for a treat.
And she even leans into that, right? She's like, you know how I get these? You got to see a lot of shit.
Oh, I missed that. I think there were like so many subtle nods that like I didn't get on my first watch. For example, when Jamie Lee Curtis, I guess, bagel variants, that's what I'm going to call her, mm-hmm. shows up.
Oh, with the circle on her head.
Yeah, she staples the circle on her head. So the circle is the bagel mm-hmm. symbol. But that's also the receipt from the very first... Mm-hmm.
The first time she circled very intensely.
She circled yes. the karaoke. So I was like, oh man, that's so neat. And then someone else pointed out that a lot of the lives that Michelle Yeoh were kind of seeping into were kind of all the things that she was trying to say to the tax people that these are her other jobs and claiming the stuff for. So she said, oh, the karaoke machine is for... Because she's a bit of a singer. And mm-hmm. then sure enough, she... gets access to the life where she's a blind singer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think she also mentioned she's a chef and then like she ends up being a chef in that world. So I was like, oh, that's a good catch. I did not see any of this.
Right, because the movie itself in the beginning, like a lot of what I was seeing on the internet were people saying, oh, this movie like makes you reevaluate your life. Especially, and then you think back to Alpha Wayman's line where he's like, every failure that you had, every door that was closed got you to this moment here. Right, so you're at that.
You're the worst version of you.
Yeah, you're the worst version of you. But it's like, yeah, you think of someone who's at that age who had all of these aspirations, right? You see her looking longingly at the TV, watching the movie, and then Wayman in the background like, oh yeah, you know, he wanted to be an actor too, just like you. Maybe you guys should do something together. You could apply for roles. And she's like, ah, oh, there's one dream that she wished she had. We hear about the singing, and the movie starts with them doing karaoke, so you could tell that singing was something that she's passionate about. And as you brought up, chef, everything else, like there's all these other passions and abilities that she had, but she has to be the sensible one. She has to hold down the fort. She has to hold down this failing coin laundry company and just get by and survive. And that resonated with a lot of people online that I saw. They're like, wow, this makes you just want to stop and really look at your life. And am I truly doing what I want to do? Because we don't have the option to jump, unfortunately.
No, we don't.
That's why she was so attached the first time she... jumps and she's like, wait, my life was amazing. Like that little deviation and my life could have been amazing. This reinforces like how miserable or how much she didn't see you, how much she had in her current life, right? That's a big part of it too. Because in the end, right, that's what she ends up choosing. Joy's like, really? You could be anywhere, do anything. And you want to be here? She's like, yeah. And she delivered the lines and you're like, my chest.
So good.
So in the end, do you think Jobu kind of just stayed in that one joy, or is she kind of still floating about? Because in the big I guess climax, she saves Jobu Tsubaki, which is joy, and then they kind of just amalgamated into those versions. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of the assumption of what happened? Or maybe that's not the point.
Well, yes, yeah.
She just talked to every version of her.
But also at the very end, right, you do see her like hearing other universes.
Right.
So
right.
It's what Joy said in the very beginning. Like, oh, now that you've hit this point, there's no going back. It's just there's more thought put into it instead of just kind mm-hmm. of fragmenting and going from each one.
Right.
That scene where she was just like, fuck my life in every universe. Signs the divorce papers.
Yeah.
Says suck it to Jamie Lee Curtis and she leaves crying. Just like an at the restaurant reveals. Cracker Cooey. Just everything. Where she's like, nothing matters. Suck it everywhere.
I always enjoy a good apathetic god character. It's very It's like a fun version of Dr. Manhattan.
Basically.
With better outfits.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was no outfits
for Dr. Manhattan. I was like, I'm sure there was a blue version of her that was cut out somewhere.
You know the scene where she becomes a rock? You see all these different Michelle Yeohs?
Mm-hmm.
There's a YouTube version of that scene where they
slowed it down
so you can actually see a bunch of the different ones. And it was neat. There was like an animated one.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one you can probably see, but like even the urn from Alpha Universe, Evelyn, was screaming too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shaking. It's like mm-hmm. talking.
I did see that was cut out. There's supposed to be more of that.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay.
Yeah. More of the dead urn, Evelyn.
Oh, I see. I don't know. The one that really stood out to me of all the scenes, one of them was a Twin Peaks reference.
Oh.
Yeah.
How fitting. You just watched Twin Peaks.
I know. We just saw all of it. And then there's one where she's in the iconic red room of Twin Peaks, and she just says, "Meanwhile." I was like, oh my God, I know this reference. Hey, I know this reference.
Legitimately something for everyone.
Can you believe how many references are packed
right
into this movie? It is unbelievable.
There's something for everyone in this film.
Can you imagine if we were an Easter egg video channel? How long do we have to spend, like, 2 days just making contents?
Longer. Longer.
What do you think is next for Daniels?
Probably something completely different.
Do you think they'll do a Marvel movie?
Interesting.
Because the producers were the Russo brothers.
Oh, were they?
On this film. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I noticed it was the same casting agent as a lot of the Marvel shows.
That could be a fun game. Which property would you want to see them do now?
Has to be something fun and crazy.
Well, they already did Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, so I guess they're not doing that.
You sound so disappointed.
You sound like somebody took your bagel and threw it on the floor. You sound depressed.
Buy everything bagel. No.
Like, it has to be, like, have the fun personality that Taika brought to Thor, but also the
that shit insane
craziness that you see in Loki. I don't even know.
That could be it.
It could be. Could be.
I would almost think that they might not want to do more time hopping or, like, verse jumping type stuff. I don't know. Because this seems like a huge departure from Swiss Army Man, which is basically a two-man show, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It feels like they would want to try something drastically different. But maybe just basing it off of Swiss Army Man is not good.
Well, Shang-Chi just seems so serious. It doesn't seem like the right alley.
Well, yeah, and it was because they had Awkwafina, so all the jokes that were supposed to be hitting didn't.
Ah, of course. Well, it was a serious movie.
I'm glad they didn't shoehorn her in this film. I would have hated it then.
Actually, Stephanie is in something else. It's Nora's Awkwafina from Queens.
Oh,
the TV show they gave her, yeah. One of the many TV shows they gave her.
Yeah, so that's how they're all tied together.
The Aquaverse. What if Daniels got their hands on something like Fantastic Four?
That would be cool.
Where they could do, like, body horror stuff. They could do lighthearted family dynamics, right? Complex family dynamics.
That would be great.
There's kind of not a lot of comparison, or good comparison at this point, so... Yeah, I feel like they would do a fresh take on that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how Taika just redid Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the previous Thors were, like, boring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm Buffman. I swing hammer.
Maybe they can do X-Men. Bring back X-Men, please.
Ooh.
They're coming back. But X-Men has always been a bit more serious.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the underlying themes in X-Men are too serious to... be as wacky, but hey, the underlying themes in this film are also very serious, so it could be done.
They can do anything. They can do whatever they want.
Basically, anything they touch, I now have complete confidence in. Will I go back and watch Swiss Army Man? Maybe not by myself.
There are definitely moments where I'm like, ah, that's too much.
But I will rewatch this
again and again and again
when I have the energy to cry my eyes out.
To cry that much? Yeah. After you're rehydrated.
Exactly. Might take a while. Okay. So what do you two rate this movie?
Ooh. Okay. Dirk, you want to go first?
Zero Crazy Rich Asians. Meaning it's amazing. Good movie. Highly recommend. Unlike the other one.
I give it 12 hot dog fingers, but instead of ketchup and mustard, they squirt hot sauce out of 10.
I give it 88 googly eyes out of 10.
Amazing.
Google eyes. Google eyes? Googly eyes.
Google eyes, yeah.
I'll have to call them Google eyes from now on.
No more Google eyes. Told you to stop with the Google eyes.
Thanks for having me. I didn't demand to be here at all.
You produce and you also edit. You can demand anything you want.
I was like, also, if we denied your request like crazy people, you would have just recorded yourself and inserted it in with your editing prowess.
Yeah, you just take splices of clips of us talking from the previous episodes to match. Yeah.
Yes. Can record with her.
I could have, but it would have been much less enjoyable. So thank you.
That's our show. Thank you for coming to Cast Them Pods. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Cast the Pods is brought to you by Dee and Dirk. Produced by Wendy Tao. Edited by Wendy Tao and Dirk. Music by Davide Carella.